This is the Leading Second podcast, where we're on a mission to raise up uncommon church builders and be the kind of leaders our pastors would kill to have on the team.
Welcome back to season two of the Leading Second podcast. My name is Brandon Stewart, and I'm so excited and honored that you're here today and that you're a part of our tribe and you found this space. Of course, the Leading Second podcast releases every Thursday morning, and my wife and I just consider it the greatest honor that we have to lead this tribe of uncommon church builders. So welcome. So glad you're here today. Also glad that you found this episode and that you join us every week if you're a regular podcast listener. We're excited about these last couple episodes that we have until we take a break for a little bit over the summer. Our last episode of the podcast is going to be on June 27th before we take a few weeks break for a bit of a summer vacation in our world, if you will. But we actually have some exciting episodes planned to drop middle of the summer called a summer coaching series. So you're going to want to stay tuned to all that's happening in the life of Leading Second, even over the summer. We're just believing this is going to help all of us to keep the growing going, as my pastor says, in our life and in our leadership over the summer. But so glad you're here today. We're going to have a lot of fun. But before we get into our interview today, as is our custom on the podcast, our first segment is always crowdsourced. And today we have another 2-minute challenge for you, coming to you from a leader on a team who is a part of the Leading Second tribe, just speaking wisdom straight into your world, out of their world. So let's check out this Leading Second 2-minute challenge.
I'm Kelly Goff from the Rock Church in Phoenix, Arizona. Here's my 2-minute challenge to you. Be intentional in listening to your senior pastors and or whoever you directly report to. A large part of leading from the second chair isn't waiting for your leader to tell you what to do. Honestly, I've found that in most cases, they're not always going to tell you every detail of what they would love for you to do. I've found that it's actually in listening to their conversations, you will pick up on what's important to them, or you will hear a gap that they are recognizing needs to be filled, and then you can take the initiative to make it happen. Our responsibility is to make our pastors and leaders' jobs easier, to remove items from their plate so that they can be more effective in what's important that only they can do. And then a large part of that can be done simply by listening. So my challenge to you is to go into your week this week and really be intentional in listening to your senior pastors, listening to your leaders, and then just go and do whatever it is that you hear that is important to them that you pick up straight from their heart. I'm Kelly Goff, and this is my 2-minute challenge.
If you have a question you'd like to hear us answer on the podcast, or if you'd like to feature your I Am Leading Second story on an upcoming episode, I would encourage you to reach out to us at leadingsecond.com or email us at leadingsecond@churchforward.co. And we'd love to hear from you and feature you on an upcoming episode. Well, today I'm excited to have with me guests from the Movement Church in Orange County. Pastors Carrie and Megan Robinson planted the Movement Church with ARC, a vibrant and strong church in Orange County. They also regularly meet with and encourage leaders from all over the area through ARC, and they're just amazing leaders and are great friends to Leading Second. And I'm also particularly excited to be joined today as well by their executive pastor, Gurley Gordy. Gurley has been a part of their church from the beginning, and she absolutely rocks the second chair role. And from time to time, she also serves as one of our coaches on our coaching team here at Leading Second. So excited to have had a conversation with them recently. I wanted to share with you. Today, we're going to have a conversation on what every pastor needs from their team. And we're going to talk from both sides of the second chair, kind of first chair to second chair to first chair, and just talk about what we need from each other and how we can lead well on behalf of each other. And I think you're just going to love this conversation. You're going to hear their dynamics from their team at work. And I pray that it will just help you and breathe life and wisdom into you wherever you're at and however you're serving today and in your context. So here we go today. Without further ado, my conversation with the team from the Movement Church in Orange County. Well, hey guys, welcome to the podcast today. Thanks so much for joining us. How are things down in Orange County? I know y'all all have terrible weather down there.
It's actually raining today.
It's been cloudy for a little while now, so we're over it.
We have this thing called May Gray, and it's overcast, and we get depressed for the first 3 hours of the day, and then the sun comes out. Yeah. So we feel your pain.
Yeah, we do. We understand.
It's a hard life planting a church in Orange County. I'm in Seattle, and it's raining here too, so we can just be emo together. But hey, I love you all so much. You all are very dear friends to Leading Second. You've been a part of our journey from the beginning of this thing.
Yeah.
And man, we so appreciate you. And I just have to say, I absolutely love your house and your team. I know we are not supposed to have favorites, so I officially don't have favorites. But if I did, my word, you guys have such a fun team and great culture. And I just thought we could have a fun conversation today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Looking forward to it. Honored to be here with you.
Absolutely. We love you guys. Take us back, Carrie and Megan, for a minute to planting your church and starting it. What was that like? I guess just tell us a little bit of your story. And specifically, what were you looking for in the team that you surrounded yourself with when you were getting ready to do this thing?
Yeah, that's a massive question that we could take 72 podcasts
Seriously.
To answer.
Of course.
It was exciting, invigorating, and horrible all at the same time. You know, just I tell people, I heard once that planting a church is like building an airplane in mid-flight. I think that's a pretty good depiction of that.
Yes, beautiful.
I tell people, for our journey was specifically like crawling uphill in the mud under barbed wire with fire at our feet.
So yes, just exactly.
Everything you can imagine that's challenging. We had great people in our corner with organizations like ARC and pastors in our world that were helpful. But just sometimes you got to cut your teeth on the challenges of life so that you build a little grit and spit and gusto. But it's been an interesting journey.
It's been an adventure. And obviously you have to be visionary if you're going to plant a church. And so I think we had big dreams and big vision, and God's continuing to work those out. But as far as the team that we were looking for, we knew that we needed a team of people to make this happen, and really just praying for people who would be willing to be all in and have one of the culture points we talk about at our church is this we win mentality of this is not so just good. About me and the area that I oversee, but this is as a whole, we've got to move this entire organization forward. And so I think for us, that was such a huge culture point that we started out with teaching people, and the fact that we're not just in this to advance my cause or the gifting that I might have. Not specifically me, Megan, but you know, each individual, and just really looking for a team of people that was willing to lay down everything else and go, what can we do to build a church here in South Orange County that's going to change the dynamic of the spiritual climate of this area? And so for us, that we win mentality and being willing to do what it takes, being willing to problem solve and not just get stuck. I think those were some key qualities in leadership that we were looking for. Carrie's going to unpack something much more detailed and practical for you, but that was high level for me.
You know, we parachuted in, which means we didn't know anybody when we got here, and we didn't bring any team with us. So it was this terrifying component. And Megan and I have always worked better in a team environment. And so the first thing we did was we just prayed, God, send us an amazing team.
Yeah.
And God's always faithful. But in the beginning, we were just looking for people who are breathing.
Yeah,
we didn't care about
all of that.
They didn't have to be saved. We'll help them find Jesus. Just say yes to helping us. And so we were looking
say
for
yes
people.
To being on the setup team, and we can work out your salvation
exactly.
later.
I can't even tell you. We had to hire out guitar players in the very beginning, and we would hire them off of Craigslist. They would play in our worship team and then get saved in the seats and then come up and close worship out with our worship leaders. So
it's
I don't know if that's the best plan, but it was all we had.
Yeah.
And we were looking for people breathing, but then we were looking for people who are faithful. Those that would just show up and say, be there when they say they'll be there and do what they say they'll do. But then the narrative shifted, and we were looking for people who are fruitful. So those that could move the ball down the field and accomplish things. And with every season of our church, the narrative has shifted because what gets you here won't get you where God's taking you. So breathing, then faithful, then fruitful. And now we're in a season where we're looking for people who are favored, those that have leadership integrity and influence with the people who call our church home. So every season we're looking for different layers of leadership along the way.
Wow. Very, very, very well said. Hey, Gurley, how did you get involved on the team at Movement Church? I love your story on that.
Well, I don't know why I'm always embarrassed to tell this story, but actually it's a great story of God answering the prayers of Pastor Carrie and Megan to say, send us a team, because the most bizarre scenario, like only God can create. My husband and I were youth pastors in Texas and had taken our kids to a church camp that Pastor Carrie and Megan had continually spoken at year after year. And so we just loved who they were. And loved, you could just tell their heartbeat in every environment, how they work together and really in ministry together, which is not often to see a picture of that, at least at the time.
Yeah.
And so it was my first experience, and we just loved their heartbeat and followed them along their journey on social media from afar. They had no idea who we were. And I remember seeing a post from Megan about sharing publicly for the first time that they were moving to Orange County to plant the Movement Church. And I remember thinking, wow, that would be so cool to go get to be a part of that. You know, no one does that. Like no one really like quits their jobs, sells their home and moves away from family to somewhere they've never been to, you know, be a part of a church plant. But wouldn't that be so cool? And I was like up late. And I decided to post on social media. I don't know why, but up late dreaming God dreams of moving across the country to help Pastor Carrie and Megan Robinson plant a church. And I tagged Megan in it. I don't even know if I knew that I did. I'm not sure.
But she did.
That is so funny.
And Megan responded. And of course, at first she was like, wait, what's happening here? Does your church know you just...
Well, the only people that I really were friends with on Facebook, but that I didn't know were people that were pastors or youth pastors at other churches from some of these different conferences we've been at. And I was so concerned because for us, like honor and transition is such an important thing.
Yeah.
I was so concerned that this youth pastor had posted this on Facebook for the entire world to see. And so I messaged her. I'm like, this is awesome, but this is probably not the best way to go about announcing this. And are you guys on staff at a church? And she came back and said that they weren't. And, you know, you can share that part.
Yeah, I was mortified. I was like, I'm so sorry to bother you. But God had just set us up in a period of transition already.
Yeah.
And just Megan engaged in the conversation. I remember you specifically asked me, what's the God dream in your heart? Tell me about, you know, who you are and what you, and I was like, oh, you don't really have to do this. It's okay. But she did. And we just engaged and God just grew this, what started off as a ridiculous idea to where we actually did follow through and move. And
the rest is history.
Just amazing.
I love it. It's one of my favorite stories out there, and God will use an accidental Facebook tag if he's got to get you somewhere, you know?
Yep.
I love it. I love it. Well, you all are building a great team. You know, something I hope people get out of Leading Second and all that we're trying to do here, and I kind of want to get into some of the meat here, I guess, for a couple minutes. Something I hope people get is the idea that, of course, we want to be great followers. We want to serve our pastors. We want to, we want to be humble. You know, we want to have a very second posture to our lives. But our pastors also need us to be really great leaders. Our pastors need strength out of us.
Yeah.
That once we're aligned and once we're on the same page, our pastor, you mentioned favored a minute ago. Our pastors need us to have influence. They need us to be good leaders.
Yeah.
They need us to be skilled in leadership. So I'm hoping today that we'll just get to some of those points and Gurley, I'm going to start with you because you just live it so well in your everyday life, you know, with an aligned heart, a humble heart, yet being a strong leader at the same time. I think that's one of the things I love about you the most is how you represent them. So Gurley, you're getting my first question today. What does leading on behalf of your pastor look like for you? Leading effectively on their behalf look like for you?
You know, for me, the biggest question I ask myself on a regular basis is, what do Pastors Carrie and Megan need from me? And thinking from that perspective, and that shifts a lot. I'm sure a lot of people out there that are leading from the second chair have visionary leaders, and visionary leaders can shift and change, and the desires in their heart can shift, and what is overwhelming to them can shift, and what is exciting to them can shift. And so I think what the biggest thing they've needed for me is to, like you said, to be strong, and to carry the weight with them, whatever that weight is.
Yeah.
So I don't really have a great answer for that, other than to really be lean into what it is. What is overwhelming my pastor right now? Because that's what they need from me. What is causing them pain right now? That's what they need from me. And if you can constantly kind of be in that vein, which is not always easy to do, and I get it wrong a lot. And sometimes I get caught up in the last thing they needed from me and not the thing they need right now. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's just being an extension of their heartbeat, an extension of their culture. I am so lucky that Pastor Carrie and Megan have such strong culture. There is no problem too big that God can't solve. There's no person that doesn't matter more than the vision that's in their hearts. And if I can replicate that, then I'm winning. And that's what they need from me more than anything else.
That's great.
You know, I've often heard your role as being like the other side of the same coin. You know, so your answer's brilliant, because sometimes it just means standing in the gap. I don't think we're not talking about a lack of clarity or anything like that. We're just talking about sometimes you have to stand in that place, have your leaders back, and filling gaps where there are gaps. And that will absolutely change over time. And maybe even the skill to be able to morph into those different seasons. Is important for the role. So, okay, Carrie and Megan, I guess talk back now, like take us to the other side of the coin. What are some things that Gurley and the rest of your team, you have a great team around you. What are some things that Gurley and the team around you do that give you confidence, you know, to lean on them and release them and empower them? What are some things they do that help you?
I think it's a great question. And really, she doesn't do anything that makes me feel confident. No, I'm kidding. I think the truth is, Gurley, one of the reasons Gurley is the executive pastor of our church is because she really does display some qualities that matter to us. In fact, when we announced to our church that she was stepping in as executive pastors, people were excited, but they also assumed she was already that because of the role and the strength that she provides.
Brilliant. That's brilliant.
Yeah. And so she does naturally some things that matter, but it actually has trickled down to our team because they see that in her. So I think there's four things. I wrote down four things specifically about this. And one of them is that she's got an I've got this mentality, no matter what it is, even if she's overwhelmed. She says she's got this thing that we're going to figure this out. We're going to figure out how to make it happen, and we're going to rally the troops to do so. And that is the most freeing component.
I think the key to that is the confidence, right? So even if you don't have it all figured out, it's this confidence that goes, we will get this figured out and we will accomplish this. I think for any team member serving on our team, that brings confidence to us. And so just knowing that they are confident in the role that they have and in the challenge that's ahead, it actually gives us confidence in them.
Totally. Yeah. I think that matters because I would say 90% of the time that Megan or I have an idea or a plan, we have no clue how we're going to make it happen.
Exactly.
We didn't know how we're going to plan a church. We don't know how we're going to do half the things.
We have some good ideas.
We have great ideas. Every idea is great.
Everyone.
But when the first response is how we're going to do that, that doesn't convey confidence.
Right.
So what I'm not looking for is the exact on how, but just know we're going to figure this thing out, and that matters so much to us.
And we don't mind problems. We don't mind the people who see the challenges in different situations. That's valuable because it gives us knowledge on how to progress forward. But the first response needs to be confidence of we can do do this, and then let's navigate the challenges versus, oh my goodness, it's impossible.
I would say the next thing that she does so well and is trickled to our team is she owns her mistakes. So for me, I don't mind people failing. I don't mind mistakes, no matter what scale, no matter what level. The biggest challenge for me is when someone passes the buck when they make a mistake, they shift the blame. Yeah. And so if you just own it, I can handle that. Now, I don't know if every leader is like that, but for me, just take ownership and we can move forward from here. And so Gurley does that so well. I think the next thing she does great is she's extremely teachable. And that is enormous, so that if there's a challenge or an issue, Megan and I can come in at any moment, anytime, and say, hey, let's tweak this. Let's do this differently, or maybe change the way you approach that. And it's not a battle. I don't have to prepare a court case of why this is important. Gurley just has this attitude and this heart of, man, I don't have it all figured out. I just want to get better at what I'm doing. And that teachability is probably one of the most fundamental components. And I think if for the young leaders that are out there listening, I think a teachable spirit is probably young leaders, old leaders, senior leaders, all support staff. I think if we can be teachable, man, we really can make a big impact.
I think one of the things I admire most about Gurley and several of our team members is their willingness to ask questions. And it sets me up to be able to pastor well when they ask the questions of, what do I need to do to get better? What's something that I can take off your plate? What's something I need to work on and concentrate on right now? It actually, the fact that they're asking those questions presents that teachable spirit.
Yeah, totally.
And it equips me to be able to immediately speak to that versus trying to find a way to do that gently make everybody feel good. So I think that's crucial.
Yeah. I would say the last thing that is probably as equal to a strength that in Gurley, but in just what I look for in team is that they sound like me.
Yeah.
So they don't have to say things exactly like I do, but the heart and the culture's got to be the same. And so I know with confidence, if I send Gurley into any environment, whatever it is, if it's a problem or it's a peak or a pit, it's good or it's bad, whatever she does to lead, she's going to lead and it's going to sound like it's me or Megan speaking. And that brings extreme confidence. And that might mean, even if she doesn't know the answer, she's going to address it and handle it or deal with or bring correction in a way that we would. And that comes from being teachable, because she's listened and learned in real life environments. And so that doesn't come naturally. That comes with time and investment from her side of things as much as anything else. So those are probably the things that I think are probably the greatest.
Yeah. One of the things I believe you taught our team when you were out with them, Brandon, you talked about wrestling things out of our hands.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, your question was, how can we feel confident to release and empower our team? And I think that when they come to us saying, okay, what can I do to wrestle this out of your hands? What do you need from me? What's the vision? What do you want this to look like? I take this. For me, that just gives me such confidence.
Totally.
And so I would encourage young leaders, any leaders in that.
Totally.
Yeah. That's really, really good. And I love where you all were ending in terms of sounding like me.
Yeah.
I think that's always my goal, is that when people have been around me, that they feel like they've been around our team, or when they've been around me, they feel like they've been around my pastors. Yeah. I feel like that's the highest win. I I'm still going to be me, still going to be unique. We all are. But I always just pray that people walk away feeling like, man, I sat in a staff meeting at Champion Center.
Yeah, totally.
And that to me is the highest compliment. So then, Gurley, let me come to you for a second. To sound like your pastors, let's just lean into that for a second, to have their voice in different situations, you have to learn their voice. So how have you learned their voice over the years?
You know, a lot of questions and a lot of conversations. I think one of the things that they do really, really well is they've actually allowed me to shut down most of the insecurity that I feel on a regular basis, because they have been such an ever-present voice in my life, to where if I have made a mistake or didn't say something well, or it could be better, they're always going to tell me. And so I don't actually have to carry around the question mark of, am I doing it right? Should I do this better?
Wow.
Whatever, yeah, because they, I can shut that down immediately because I know that they're going to tell me. So just getting to have all of those conversations, and they're willing to have a conversation about it. They're not just going to be like, hey, guess what? You got to fix this, get better. And then like swoop back out.
Yes.
They've been willing to have the conversation and ask the tough questions about, hey, why do you feel then? Why is this a sound that's coming from you, and willing to dive into my world? So I don't know if I'm answering your question, but
no, it's, you are,
just the relationship that we have built over time, a lot of time and a lot of conversations, and them being willing to be so real, and they're actually willing to make a mistake in front of me as well. And that just builds trust.
You know, can I jump in on this, Brandon? I think that's a really powerful component. And I think Gurley emulates this so well. The question you ask is what gives us confidence to release and empower our team. Man, we can't release and empower our team if we can't bring correction as well as encouragement and instruction. And so sometimes as a leader, it's challenging to lead the people who are following it if we have to go to great lengths just to bring minor correction because that individual is going to crater, or they're so built up with insecurity that we have to go through a 4-hour therapy session just to say, hey, when you talk to people, don't say things like this. And so I think that that is an important thing for those that are listening and that are in support roles to know, hey, to continually keep that dialogue open with my leadership, it's going to help me build confidence in the areas where I feel insecure, but I'm also going to get a little grit in me to know that if my leadership is bringing correction, it's not a disqualifier, and it doesn't mean that I'm failing at life. It just means I've got areas and room for improvement. And Gurley has done a great job of that component. I think that comes back to that teachability aspect as well.
I love it. Okay. So then let's get to the real here. Have you ever found yourself on different pages? Which I think the answer is just, I'm sure, yes. So, it's going to happen. It's bound to happen, not because we're bad, because we're human and we have, you know, our own thoughts. And so, I think any second chair leader that's been in the game 10 minutes is going to realize that I'm going to find myself in a situation where maybe I made a decision that my pastor wouldn't have made. Or I even had the right intentions in this, but I just didn't get it quite right. Sure. So Gurley, let me come back to you then for a second. Have you ever been in that place where even with the right intentions, you know, you found yourself just off the page, and what did you do?
Yeah, we were talking about this a little bit before we jumped on here, and I asked Pastor Carey about it. Is there a specific Snapchat moment that we call it sometimes around here? And Pastor Carey just started laughing and goes, too many to count. <You know? laughs> and actually so many that there's not even one that stands out.
That's, I think, funny.
We've had so many conversations, or even all three of us are on three different pages.
Yeah.
And I think that actually speaks powerfully to think through. There's not just one moment that even stands out, because it happens so constantly.
Yeah.
And it's just a part of the process that we have created. We have a really healthy staff culture where we actually expect people to bring their 100% feedback in every environment. So especially around the table with our senior leadership, to say, hey, this is what I think, here's what I'm worried about, here's why I don't like this plan, or I don't think it's the right fit for our church right now. Or we expect people to share that, and they expect me to share that with them, because the worst thing that could happen is for us to go down a path and you didn't share your feedback, and we went down a path because you didn't share your feedback. And then at the end of the day, you're like, yeah, see, I knew it.
Yeah.
That would be the worst culture we could create. And it doesn't mean that just because you share your feedback that we're going to go a different direction.
Right.
But we all have a voice, and we have a responsibility to share feedback. And what that allows is, even if we don't go the direction that I am hoping that we'll go, or I am 1,000% convinced I am right and have like point A through Z about why we should do it this way, it doesn't mean that it's going to go my way. But because I was heard, it's a lot easier to get on board with even saying, nope, we're not going to do it that way. And actually, I don't even have a good reason why we're just not going to do it that way. And I can go, okay, great. And we can walk away from that conversation and be on the same page. So that happens a lot more than the opposite scenario where it's too late and we've already made a decision. Although those happen as well. We have a lot of conversations about what do you say all the time?
I don't know.
You don't always say we say great initiative, but poor judgment.
Yeah.
We have a lot of those conversations. sometimes it's, you know, great judgment, poor initiative, but it's more often the other way around. But we just get to have these conversations on the back end and continue to grow forward through them.
That's great.
Yeah, I think too, for maybe no matter where you're at in leadership, if you're in the second chair, you're also leading people. So whether you're a senior leader or a support team, I think one of the things that Megan and I had to really work in the beginning was to realize that just because we might have an idea doesn't mean it's the whole idea, nor that it's the perfect plan. And so if we don't foster and create an environment where our teams that are following us feel it's safe to bring constructive and honoring feedback, we call it pushback. The term we use is, can I push on that idea? In other words, is there, can I bring a challenge to that with honor and constructive ideas? If we don't foster that as leaders, then we will have people who are following, but there's dissonance and there's resentment and there's not real buy-in. And so,
and that brings division ultimately.
There's division no matter what, even if you can't see it, and it's under the surface, and it's only going to fester. And then when everything implodes or falls apart, whether or not your team says, I knew it, they're thinking it. So it's not just on the people following to be aware that we're going to not be on the same page. It's on the people leading to realize, hey, I don't have all the ideas. I want insight on this. So that term that Gurley used, we use all the time, especially on correction. Is it poor initiative or poor judgment? And, you know, sometimes it's they didn't take initiative. They had the right ideas but didn't take initiative. Sometimes they had the right – they made a decision. They went for it, but the judgment was the right – it wasn't the right decision to make. So that kind of helps us go, hey, you did some great stuff here, but also – maybe the way you went about it or the timing or the manner in which you went about it could be shifted a little bit. So I don't know if that makes sense.
Language is very helpful for conversations. Great initiative, poor judgment, or that's good judgment, but you didn't take initiative. I think that actually is very beneficial for teams and having those conversations.
Yeah. I think too, if I can continue talking, I am a preacher. It's hard to stop. I love that Gurley said that, you know, the question I think you asked was, do you find yourself on different pages? And I would say that happens so often that I couldn't qualify. I can't think of a mountain that we had to battle it out on. It's little tweaks along the way, but that's what Megan and I want.
I mean, Carrie and I are on different pages all the time.
Like right now, she's interrupting me right now. So no, but really that's a part of the cultural dynamic that we have. And so it's been constant tweaks, little tweaks along the way, and not just Megan and I making sure that Gurley gets on our page, but recognizing that Gurley's a part of the team because God's created her to be here. And therefore what she has in her, we need as well. And so it's a both and of constant little tweaks. So I want to encourage somebody who's listening who you feel like, man, I just constantly where there's tweaks and corrections, and man, that actually can become a really healthy thing if I'm teachable and willing to learn.
Yeah, that's great.
Because we're aligning.
Yeah.
We're aligning on this thing. That's so great. Anyway, just some encouragement.
You know, just a freebie extra on this one too, because what you guys just said was brilliant. One thing my pastor says a lot to us, I guess in our own environment, is be easy to talk to about hard things.
Ooh, that's good.
Be easy to talk to about hard things. Yeah. It's honestly one of the best things I've ever heard him say from the standpoint of, here's how I read between the lines in that statement. If you're easy to correct, if you're easy to talk to about hard stuff, if you can take it, if you're not going to get butthurt and sideways you know, whatever, but if you can take it, guess what? You're going to build trust with me and you're going to get an opportunity to really lead, you know, at a significant level, because I know that I can always come to you with something tough.
Wow.
And I just think that's a permission that we give.
Yeah, that's great.
To our leaders to talk to us like this. Okay. Before we land the plane here, there is something really important I want to talk to you about. And that is I guess what I would call in our world, you may call it something different, but in our world, what we call it is a volunteer staff culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For people's reference, you know, you all are church planters. You're in the youngest, you know, your church is in the youngest season of its life, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The majority of your team is not paid, which of course is most people's reality.
Yeah.
You know, in leading church and building church, we use this at Champion Center. Our church is 30 something years old and we still, use a heavy dose of volunteer staff, myself included. I am actually not paid by my church. I am fully on the team and fully volunteer staff. It's as sexy as it sounds, by the way,
yeah.
All of the work and none of the pay, right? that is absolutely what we're talking about. But I actually believe if churches can unlock a healthy volunteer staff culture, that I like to say there's no hiring cap on volunteer staff. There's no pay cap. You know, you can, if the culture is strong and if the hearts are willing to do it, it can unlock leadership in your church in a way that, you know, we can't always provide paychecks for.
Yeah.
And that's just a real deal. So I'm saying this to say that I love how you all have brought so many volunteer staff to the table. I love your office, for everyone's reference, is literally a garage.
Come on.
That's right. And
it's my
really
favorite
good looking garage.
It's my favorite office. You guys made it so cool. And then that terrible Orange County weather just allows you to keep the garage door up
right.
all day and you're. But like, I remember being in there with the team meeting and I felt so much joy from the team being there, you know, working, meeting, building church. And yet so many of them weren't compensated to do so. And
yeah.
I just think it's a dream situation to be in when we can unlock that culture. So I guess really fast, how have you made that work, I guess, in your context? What has that looked like for you to bring people in that way?
Man, that's great. First of all, we do have a great team. They're just good people who really are committed to the mission and living their life on purpose. And so that makes that, no matter what the mission is, the fact that they want to build the church
yeah.
and help people find Jesus, that's half the battle. And we love our team. We love hanging
yeah.
out with our team. They're just good people. I'd say that there's probably a few things that we do very specifically. When it comes to, it doesn't matter whether they're potentially going to be paid members of the team or they're volunteer. We hold everyone to the same standard.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think that's an important component, because then everybody knows this, and it's not, we're all on the same page. And while somebody may be required to be in an office more than others because they're paid to be there, they have the same standard of heart for the church
yeah.
and what services we attend and how we serve our teams. But I think probably I just jotted down a few thoughts. We always lead with the why behind the what first,
yeah.
So that they're attached to the mission as opposed to the task first. And then whenever we see wins or we see losses, we can come back to the why and let that fuel what we're doing. We really try to focus, number two, on aligning people with their passion and gift mix. It tends to help them run a little further and faster and longer than if we get somebody
yeah.
in a position where they hate their life because they hate Excel spreadsheets, but they're forced to do it and they're
right,
miserable
right.
and don't want to do anything ever again. So passion and gift mix matter. We try to really clarify what winning looks like, but also onto that is I get very, very specific and put on paper, even if they're volunteers, here's my expectation of you. And we ask for the farm. Like we ask big asks.
Good.
And so I don't care if you're paid or not, I'm going to ask you to be at every service and at these meetings. And I will clarify, here's the amount of time I think it's going to take each week. And here's the attitude I expect you to bring. And I just give that to them up front and in writing so they can see it. And then I hold them to it. So I don't care if they're a volunteer or they're paid for a day a week or they're paid full time. Hey, let's look back at what you committed to, because you said yes to this and I just want to hold you to it. Or do you feel like maybe that season's over? And more often than
yeah.
not, they rectify and say, hey, no, I want to be in on it. And then I think this may sound self-serving, but we were taught, we have great pastors in our world who have not just taught this, but lived this with Megan and I.
Yeah.
And yes. that we are more committed to their personal calling yeah. than to our agenda of yeah. building yeah. the church.
So good.
And so if we feel if we can make sure we live that with our words, with our, how we back them, how we make sure they have time away, a Sabbath and rest, that if we can communicate that, not just with our words, but with our actions, then they'll realize they're not a cog in the wheel, but we're in this together, yep. Regardless of what our income looks like and where it comes from.
Absolutely. And I just would tag on to that. I think all of us are called to build the church. That's calling right. on all of us as a Christ follower. And some people, their passion, their gift sets, their skills, might be to build the house, and some of them are going to be ministers in the house. And so it's awakening that calling and that purpose inside of people and being willing to see it and call it forth and just really speak to purpose. And so I think that one of the ways that we've built a team of just highly just incredible volunteers yeah. is that we just see purpose inside of people and we speak to it. And there's something about walking in the purpose that God created you for that is fulfilling, and it's more fulfilling than a paycheck ever is going to be. And what that doesn't mean is that we don't want to pay them. I want to pay them $1 million for everything they're doing to build the house of God, but it's just speaking to purpose and reminding them who they are and who they're called to be and pulling out some of the hidden giftings inside of them and letting them see, man, they can really just succeed in the thing that they were created to do. I think that's been so highly yeah. beneficial.
I would love to add on to that what Pastor Carey said about how we ask for the farm. I mean, we do. I don't okay. think, I don't know how other churches operate. I don't care to know because I want to be here forever. But I don't think that there is a paycheck out there that could make up for some of the pain that is involved in doing ministry well. Because if you're doing ministry well and wholeheartedly, there's elements of it that are going to be painful. And so I would say to anyone out there that is thinking that the paycheck has the answer to them being in ministry, wow. that will fix everything or anything at all.
That's so good, girly.
You just couldn't, it can't. And just like there's pain, there's also joy and yeah. dreams coming true and people getting to be a part of people awakening to the purposes of and hope that's in Jesus. Like, just as much as there's so much pain, there's so much hope and joy. Yeah. And so I don't think we act like anybody, I don't think most anybody in our church would have any clue which staff members are
yeah.
paid.
And yeah, probably not.
Because we ask for everything.
Yeah.
Because ministry is an yeah. everything kind of job. And so I think that actually puts us all on the same page and people enjoy that yeah. versus think that that's tough.
Yes.
I just have to jump in here too, because I agree with that, girly. You just said it so brilliantly. I don't think there's a paycheck in the world that can make up for being in the wrong place.
Yeah.
I think one of the single greatest days of my life personally was, and you'd have to listen to one of our first episodes to hear my story on this, but I'm doing what I'm doing today essentially because I got let go from the team for reasons that were not my wrongdoing. And, you know, I was kind of asked to, you know, transition for a period of time. And what I think a lot of people don't even know for me was that, Pastor Kevin, because I had done nothing wrong, Pastor Kevin actually released me to go to another church. And he said, if there's someone that can bring you on staff that would like to, I don't want to stop you. You've not done anything wrong. This is just a situation we're in. And the greatest thing I ever said to him was when I looked at him in that moment and said, I would rather volunteer here than be paid somewhere else. In other words, I didn't let a lack of a paycheck get me out of the place that God had for me. And yeah. just the blessing of God that's been on our lives since that yeah. statement, I can't quantify it. For wow. people.
Absolutely.
We have to remember for those of us who do have the privilege of receiving our income from ministry, first of all, it is not the goal. Mm. It is not the, yeah. in fact, if we receive a compensation in ministry, we actually are paid with tithers' money to do what so many people, many, many more people than us do for free. And some people will actually physically give their lives for. Yeah. In fact, it should be so humbling to us.
Yeah.
I get why we compensate. Of course we do it so that people can devote all of their time and energy. I totally get it. And I'm for it. I'm there. I've received all of my adult income pretty much from ministry. I guess what I'm saying is we just can't paint that as like the prize.
Yeah. Because I
just think there's probably heaven's going to surprise us probably with the people who get some heavenly rewards for what they've done, for how they,
totally. You know,
how they were able to dig down and serve regardless of the paycheck, regardless of the title, the position. So I'm going to talk a lot more about this in the future. I'm super passionate about this area. I just think it unlocks something.
That's great.
For a church. So I could talk to you guys for hours. We're already way long, but this is just going to be good. And I guess this is my podcast. We can do what we want here.
That's right.
but since this is the Leading Second podcast, Girly, you're going to get the last question here. Since you are the Leading Second leader on the call today. I just want you to take a minute right now. And I want you to talk directly to the heart of the person who's listening today, who's leading on behalf of their pastor. They're in your shoes, in my shoes, you know, listening somewhere. If you were just looking at them in the eye right now, what would you say directly into their heart, directly into their soul? Just minister to them for a second to keep going and doing what they're doing for their pastor.
Yeah, man, wherever you're at, whatever frustration you have with how far you are in the journey, whatever question is unanswered in your heart, I would just say, bring your pastor in on the journey. And as far as it can depend on you, create a healthy relationship with your pastor. And if that can be fully on you, I don't care what your leader looks like or acts like or talks like, you have the ability to create an incredible relationship with your pastor. They have insight into your life, even if you don't think that they do. They have the ability to speak into you in ways that you could never imagine. So just pray for your pastor and do whatever you can do to let them be a voice in your life, because that can unlock everything for you.
I love it. I love it. Well, you all are very special to us. Thanks for being on the journey with Leading Second from the beginning. And we count you as some of our great friends. So thanks for today, guys.
Thanks, Brandon. Yeah, we feel the same.
We're honored. Hey, let me say one thing, if I can. You don't have to include this in the podcast. For those that are listening that are in senior leadership, yeah. One of the best things that has happened to us as a church is having Brandon come in and experience our Sunday morning experiences, be around our team and invest in our team. It literally took us into a new level of leadership and a dynamic. And so if you're listening, man, don't wait, don't hesitate, don't delay. Bring Leading Second and Brandon into the journey of your church and your organization to help be a voice into the people that you're leading, because he can say and do and teach things that are challenging for us as senior leaders to say. And I'm telling you, you'll see a direct deposit and you'll see that a return on that investment that will blow your mind. So I just want to encourage you that are listening, jump in and bring him in on your journey. It'll be worth it.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
I love you so much.
We love you.
If this podcast has resonated with you, I want to encourage you to help us out by becoming a podcast ambassador. That just simply means hitting the subscribe button, leaving us a rating or a comment, sharing the podcast. We would consider it an absolute honor. Have a voice into your life and into your world every single Thursday. Also, I want to encourage you to get you and your team registered for Team Church Conference coming in August 5th through the 7th in Tacoma, Washington. Leading Second is a part of the greater Team Church tribe, and our flagship annual gathering happens at Team Church Conference every year. You're not going to want to miss it. More information available at teamchurchconference.com. We have a price jump that's coming soon. You'll want to get your team locked in and registered for that. It's going to be a great year as we explore the DNA of great teams. So Leading Second, we love you. We're thankful for you. Just so thankful for this space that we have every week together, and praying that it's helped you to run stronger in your lane in this season of ministry in your life. I pray that it's helping you. So Leading Second, until next time, let's run strong for the kingdom and lead in an uncommon way together.
For more information, check out leadingsecond.com or join us on the Leading Second Forum on Facebook.